Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Will you turn in the Bible with me today to Mark chapter 15. I appreciate you watching today, and may I suggest that if you do not have a Bible handy, if you do, please get it, and if you do not have, get a pencil and a piece of paper, and please write down the scripture references and study them to see whether the things that we say are true. I appreciate you watching every Sunday morning, and I hope it's a real blessing to you. I would appreciate it if you would write to me and let me know your opinion of the broadcast, and let me know about the fact that you watch. The only way that I have of knowing about you is by hearing from you. We're talking about the cross. We're talking about the preaching of the cross. And Paul said that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. And so we want to discuss again this morning the preaching of the cross. Notice in Mark chapter 15, verse 27. Mark 15, verse 27 says, "And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors." Please turn to Isaiah. This is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 53. Now, I want you to understand, he was numbered with the transgressors. In other words, Jesus Christ then, in his death, died on a cross, and he died between two thieves. The reasoning behind this is because Jesus Christ was held accountable for your crimes. The reason for this is because Jesus Christ was judged as a criminal, and he was found guilty. Now, people say, but Pilate said, "I find no fault in him," and that's true, but nevertheless, he was seen by the people as a criminal. And so Jesus Christ took his cross. It has to do with the same thing in that time as an electric chair would be now. It had to do with a fact that in the eyes of the people, he deserved to die. And so Jesus Christ, as a criminal, Jesus Christ is a bad person. Jesus Christ is a very sinful individual. Having been judged and no release for him, he had been beaten, many stripes were put on his back, and he was his beard was pulled out. He was belittled by the people. He was treated as a common criminal. And so he took his cross and he went forth to Calvary, and he hung on a cross between two common criminals, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now in Isaiah chapter 53, notice in verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. In other words, they arrested him as a common criminal, as a common prisoner, and they brought him to judgment. All right, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Jesus Christ died for the transgression of people. Jesus Christ died for the crimes of people. He died for your crimes. He died for your transgression. You know what I never have been able to understand? Is why is it that preachers and teachers, maybe there's some listening to me right now, that claim to study your Bible, and the passages are clear that Jesus Christ was stricken in your behalf. The passages are clear that he died for your crimes, that he died for your sins, and yet there are some of you that believe, in spite of that, that you must pay for your sins if you believe in him. There are some of you that believe that you can trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that Jesus Christ will give you victory over your sins in order that you will stand one day before God, not having had your sins paid for, but that you will not have committed them. That amazes me. That's absolutely, that is just, as they say, mind-boggling. If Jesus Christ paid for your sins, then they're paid for. If Jesus Christ died for your sins, then the wages of death has been paid. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ died, your sins are paid for. You believe in him as your Lord and Savior. All your sins are in the future. They're gone, they're judged, they're taken care of by Christ, and you need not worry about them. You need not go around with a guilt complex wondering how the thing is going to work out. You can know how it'll work out. God already worked it out. Why? Because He took His Son, Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, Jesus Christ, who never committed any wrong, Jesus Christ, who said, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of Almighty God, was delivered up by His Father. God loved you. God so loved you that He delivered up His Son in order that through the death of His Son at Calvary, He could save you. And if you do not completely and totally rely upon what Jesus Christ did at Calvary in your behalf, there is no possible way that God can save you. It is not that God Almighty is going to give you the power to live above your sin. Why? Because you were born in sin. The Bible said, "By one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And he goes on in Romans chapter 5, and he says, from Adam to Moses, he says that men died even though they had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. In other words, men who had not transgressed against God still died. Why? Because they were born in sin. Because sin is in man. Man has a nature of sin. Man has an idolatrous nature within him. Man has a rebellious nature within him. And that's probably the reason that some of you refuse to see the truth. Because you're rebellious within yourself. And there are people that think you're so gentle. They think that you're so humble. But you're putting on a show. A man who is really humble is the man that humbled himself before the mighty hand of God and recognizes that he cannot lift himself up. He recognizes that he cannot be good. The man that is humble sees himself as the sinful individual that he is, and recognizing that, he receives Christ as his Lord and Savior for salvation. And he doesn't go around bragging on how good he is. He doesn't mind telling people that he's bad. Why? Because he has a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. Now, back in Isaiah 53, verse 9, "And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death." In other words, his grave was a borrowed grave. A rich man loaned them a tomb in which to put Jesus Christ. Now, that ought to tell you something. In other words, a tomb was not prepared for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wasn't going to stay in it. Jesus Christ was not carried out to some graveyard where they dug a fresh grave out there and put him in a casket and lowered him down into a grave and put a slab over him and put a headstone there. Jesus Christ was in a borrowed tomb. Why? He isn't going to stay there. After 3 days and three nights, he was going to rise from the dead. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Hell couldn't keep him. He said, "I have the keys of hell and death," and hell could not retain him. Jesus Christ arose victorious over hell and the grave. He was in a borrowed grave. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9, "He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Verse 11, "He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied." In other words, God Almighty then was satisfied with the death of Jesus Christ. God Almighty was satisfied with the fact that Jesus Christ paid for your sins. God Almighty took your sins and put them upon His Son. Let's just say that right here is the death of Jesus Christ, and the death of Jesus Christ occurred when He was 33 years of age. He was a 33-year-old man, and so He died in A.D. 33. Your life was out here. The beginning of your life is here. The ending of your life upon this earth is there, and all your sins were in the future when Jesus Christ died. And God Almighty delivered up Christ for you because God knew about you from before the foundation of the world. God, before the foundation of the world, knew that you'd be born at that day there. God, before the foundation of the world, knew that you'd leave this world at that date right there. God knew all the sins that you could possibly transgress between the two points. But that isn't all. If you will believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you will humble yourself and quit trying to save yourself and quit trying to be a Christian, and if you'll humble yourself before God and believe in Christ, trusting that He did pay for all your sins, then the date that you will trust Jesus Christ was also known by Almighty God. Let's just say that date is right there. God knew that on that date you would hear the good news that Christ had died for you and that He was buried and that He rose again. And God knew that you would trust Christ as your Savior right then and there. Knowing that, God Almighty delivered up His Son. God Almighty turned His back upon His Son at Calvary, and your transgressions were placed upon Him, and God Almighty poured out His wrath on Him in your stead in order that God could save you over here. There is no other way that God Almighty can save you. In Isaiah 53, verse 11, He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. In other words, when God Almighty saw Jesus Christ die, when God Almighty saw His travail, He said, "My soul doth sorrow unto death." And as He went to Calvary and hang upon Calvary, He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" If God Almighty turned His back upon His sinless Son at Calvary, if God Almighty turned His back upon a man that never did any wrong and did not have sin within himself, if God turned His back upon him, then what will He do to you if you reject Him? You see, the reason God turned His back upon His Son was because your sins are placed upon Him. And He became at Calvary what you are by nature. He became at Calvary what you are by practice. Your sins were paid for there. All you need is to trust Him. All you need to do is claim Him as your Lord and Savior. And it is done. God is satisfied. God saw the travail of Jesus Christ and was satisfied. That is, He will never satisfy Himself by pouring out His wrath on you. He cannot do that. If God was satisfied with what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, and if He did it in your behalf, then how is God going to satisfy Himself by pouring out His wrath on you when He's already satisfied with the payment? For you to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that He paid for all your sins, for you to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, trusting Him as your Savior, and then for God to put your sins to your charge, would be like God charging double payment for your sins. That cannot be. God is not a crook. Why, the Bible said, God is not a man that He should lie. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Well, what did He say? He said to you, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." What is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Lord really means owner. Believe that Jesus Christ bought you at Calvary. He redeemed you by His blood. Redemption is to purchase. He paid for your sins and He paid for your soul. He bought you at Calvary. So to believe on the Lord is to believe that you were purchased by Him. The word Jesus means Jehovah Savior. That is to believe that the man that died at Calvary is the Jehovah of the Old Testament Scriptures. He is the one that put the stars in their sockets. He is the one that said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He's the one that separated the light from the darkness. He's the creator of heaven and earth, and the Bible said He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. The one that hung at Calvary and died for you and shed His blood for you is the one that appeared to Moses at the burning bush. He's the one that redeemed the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the great Redeemer. Believe on the Lord Jesus. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ, who died at Calvary, is the Jehovah of the Old Testament, then you're not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is Creator. Jesus is the one that made all things. And by Him all things consist. And He's before all things. And without Him, there would be nothing. Believe on the Lord. That is, believe that He purchased you at Calvary. Then you need to relax in Him. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then quit working to gain what He gained for you at Calvary. Relax in the finished work of Christ and trust Him, Jesus, Jehovah Savior. And the word Christ is anointed of God. Jesus Christ became sin at Calvary. God turned His back upon Him at Calvary. And He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? It's as if He lost His salvation. When Jesus Christ went to Calvary, He's the Son of God. When He went to Calvary, He's the sinless Son of Almighty God. As He hung on Calvary, He became sin. Before He was put on the cross, He had no sin. But when He hung on the cross, God transferred your sins to Him, and your sins became His sin, and God made Him to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin became your sin, and Jesus Christ became your lost, doomed, and damned condition at Calvary. If there is somebody listening to my voice out there today that in the world today is lost, they're a sinner, and they're hanging over hell with a heartbeat. Jesus Christ became at Calvary what that sinful individual is in the world today. He became lost. He became without God. He became a candidate for hell. And so Jesus Christ descended into hell. The wages of sin is death. Your sins put Him to death, and Jesus was put in a grave. Why? Because of you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ. That is, He went into the tomb and arose victorious over your sins. Your sins were on Him on the cross, but your sins were no longer on Him when He arose. He was anointed of God from the grave. He came forth from the grave, the new man, without sin. The sins were paid for by His death. The sins were removed from Him by His death. Your sins were removed by the death of Christ at Calvary. Hold on to Isaiah 53 and turn in your Bible, please, to Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, the context of the latter part of the book of Romans 4 is about Abraham. Notice in verse 19, reference to Abraham, and being not weak in faith, he, Abraham, considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, a 100-year-old man was told by God, you're going to bear a child. He's going to come forth from your bowels and through the womb of your wife Sarah. Here's a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, and this man was foolish enough in the eyes of mankind to believe that he could produce a child through a woman that was 90 years old. He just believed God. He just humbled himself before God, and he staggered not at the promise of God in unbelief. He was strong in faith, and in that faith gave glory to God. You want to give glory to God? You don't give glory to God by walking around saying, amen, praise God, hallelujah. People think they're giving glory to God by hollering, hallelujah, praise God, jumping over the pews and waving handkerchiefs in the air and on and on. No, you give glory to God by believing God. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, God promised him, he was able to perform. There's some of you that don't believe that. You don't believe that what God Almighty promised you is able to perform. God promised you that if you would confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, he'd save you. And there's some of you don't believe that. You don't believe that he can do what he said. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you don't believe that. What you really believe is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty give you the power to live without sin. And he never said that. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and you don't believe that. There are many of you listening to me right now. You believe that after having trusted Christ your Lord and Savior, and him having paid for your sins at Calvary, there is some possibility that God's going to find some condemnation in you. Abraham was strong in faith. He believed God. He didn't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. He said, God said it. And that settled it. Somebody said, God said it, I believe it, and that settled it. Oh, no. God settled it. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. If he said it, shall he not do it? If God said that if you'd believe that Jesus Christ paid for your sins at Calvary, to believe in him is to trust him. If you'll trust that he paid for your sins at Calvary, God will save you and never repent of having saved you. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you Christ. And in Christ is life. And if you've got Christ, you've got life. You can't go wrong. In Romans chapter 4, verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sakes alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it, our belief, it, righteousness on the basis of our faith, righteousness what we're after, it, righteousness, shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. You need to be righteous. How can you be righteous? By doing works? No. All our works, our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags. You don't get righteous by doing things. You get righteous by believing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the righteousness of Christ will be put to your account. God counted his belief unto him for righteousness. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses. Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses. Like saying, as a result of. In other words, because of our offenses, God delivered up his Son. If Jesus Christ died for my sins, then Jesus Christ died because of my sins. God Almighty selected me in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, but he couldn't bring us unto himself because of our sins. Why did God put Adam out of the Garden of Eden? Because of his sins. Adam couldn't stay in the garden because of sin. He transgressed against God, and God put him out. And God couldn't bring us into his presence. Why? We were born in sin. And so, because of our sin, Jesus Christ died at Calvary. He was delivered for our offenses. He was delivered because of our offenses. He was delivered as a result of our offenses. Verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In other words, he was raised again as a result of our justification. He was raised again because of our justification. What am I saying unto you? I'm saying that if God knew that you'd trust Christ right here, and he did, if you'll believe in him as your Savior right there, God knew it. And therefore, he justified you in AD 33. If you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the justification that was accomplished at Calvary is yours by your faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Lord, he's owner. He bought you. He purchased you at Calvary. Jesus, he's Jehovah Savior, the creator of heaven and earth. The God above all gods, and beside him there is no God. Jesus Christ is my God. Jesus Christ is my Lord. And Jesus Christ is my Savior. And Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, he's anointed of God over sin, death, the grave. He arose from the grave. God anointed him from the grave. He's Christ. Now in Isaiah chapter 53, in Isaiah 53:11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Well, then God Almighty doesn't need to pour his wrath on you to be satisfied. He's satisfied with what Christ did for you at Calvary. Therefore, when the wrath of God comes upon this world, you will have been delivered. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ, those that are in the graves today that have trusted Christ their Savior, the dead shall rise first. They'll stand upon their feet on the ground. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Our vile bodies will be changed and made like unto his glorious body. God will save us from the travail and the tribulation that's coming upon this world. He'll save us from the wrath. Why? God was satisfied with the travail of the soul of his Son in our behalf. Therefore, he doesn't need to satisfy himself. He doesn't need to justify our sins again. Why? He justified our sins by the death of Christ at Calvary. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will save you at the rapture of the church. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion of the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.